You may have heard me talk a little bit about the Out of the Darkness walk that's coming here to Chicago at Grant Park. It's right around the corner. Out of the Darkness is an event that is going to try and shed light on, raise money for, and help people either avoid suicide or help families who have been victimized, if you will, by suicide. In our studio is Kara Levinson, and she is on the board in Illinois, the Illinois chapter secretary for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Kara, this is John. Let's see, I guess you knew that. We met about 4 minutes ago. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm really privileged to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, let's get the word out. You know, it's one of those things where I think we all know that suicide is a huge problem in this country, but until you actually sit down and educate yourself a little bit about it, you don't realize what a big deal it is. Put it into some perspective for me. Who commits suicide demographically, et cetera?
Okay. Well, unfortunately, an American dies by suicide every 12 minutes. Americans have attempt to die by suicide an estimated 1.1 million times annually. The cost of suicide to our society is an estimated $51 billion annually.
I've heard that veterans commit suicide maybe disproportionate to the rest of the population.
Yeah, veterans account for about 18% or almost one in five people.
Okay, I thought it was going to be higher.
Yeah.
So one in five suicides are veterans.
One in five are veterans, which means that four in five are just ordinary citizens. And I will tell you that the issue of suicide cuts across all demographics. There is not a race or ethnic group or socioeconomic class that suicide does not touch.
Teenagers, are they vulnerable?
Very vulnerable. And in fact, in Illinois, suicide is the number one leading cause of death for ages 10 to 14. And the third leading cause of death for ages 15 to 24.
You told me off the air 1 to 44. What is
that? Yes, it is the leading cause of death for ages 1 to 44 nationally.
Suicide is?
Yes.
I'm shocked to hear that.
Yes.
You would think car crashes or, I don't know, other diseases, gunshots, that sort of thing.
Right. Often gunshots,
sure,
are suicides.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because here in Chicago we're so tapped in on death by gunshot, and presumably somebody murdering somebody, but it's not always the case, is it?
It's not always the case, and in fact, one of the things that is why it's so important to address the issue of gun violence is because often gun violence is self-inflicted. There are far more deaths by suicide than there are by homicide, and there are half of the suicides are by guns, firearms.
So then, are you advocates for suicide prevention almost always more conservative, if you will, about gun ownership rules? Do you want to restrict that more?
No, that's not the position of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. In fact, we are partnering with the National Shooting Sports Association and on an effort to try and educate people about gun safety.
Yeah.
And that's an issue that we should all be able to agree on.
Well, maybe it's not the gun, it's the mental state of the individual. The problem isn't that they found a gun, it's that they were so distraught that they sought one out to begin with.
That's quite true. And often people, you know, they have a moment of crisis. They are already at risk because of health issues or an underlying psychiatric condition, financial things. It's a whole host of factors that can lead to a death. That's never one thing.
Do you have an informed opinion or thought about this? So one of the Fox News anchors nationally lost his job last week because of some unfortunate email and text messages that he was sharing with some colleagues.
Yes, Eric Bowling. Yeah.
So they fire him. Then a few days later, his son takes his own life. And some people are trying to make the connection one to the other. They were very close. What do you have to say about that?
I think that it's very easy to, as an outsider, to try and step in and assign blame, so to speak, for a suicide on something that is nationally known, but I think that's a big mistake. We don't know anything about this young man and whatever issues were going on with
him. So you're not blaming the father. You're not blaming the father's bosses.
No.
And I we say this all the time, but it's easier maybe to say it than to do it. I think we all know not to do that. Don't go there. It's such a personal, mysterious thing. We can't know what the motivation was for that kid.
We can't know what the motivation is, but we certainly can take steps to ensure that other young people don't make the same decision, if you will.
How do we do that?
Well, I will tell you that I have personal experience with this issue. 10 years ago, my 18-year-old daughter, Ilana, took her own life. She was had been struggling with depression for about 4 years, and she had seen many medical and psychological professionals. But at the time, she had, unbeknownst to me, taken herself off medication. And things just came together in a very bad way one night.
Would you say then, I knew that about you. Thank you for sharing that. I hope that helps people realize that you're coming at this not just as an advocate, but as a person who struggled with this. You know about what you speak. So then I wonder if there's like a series of protocols we should all follow, like get them professional help, get them on medication, monitor the medication. Is there a series of things we should be thinking about?
Well, sure, but I think the number one thing that we need to do is get rid of the stigma that surrounds mental health issues and suicide. And that's a taller order than you can believe. There are still communities and pockets of people who don't believe that suicide is anything except a rational decision, and it is anything but.
Why do you say that? Where do you hear that?
I know that I've seen, I follow social media, and there are people who, somebody yesterday, one of these celebrity types, was talking about that he does not believe that there is such a thing as depression, that people who are sad should just snap out of it and get over it, and that this is very self-indulgent. And that's great for him that he has never experienced depression. Yeah. But as we know, millions and millions of people have major depression.
How do you not, or maybe should I care that that person defined it as self-indulgent? I mean, it is a selfish act, isn't it?
How do you come? I don't understand.
I'm quoting
it that way.
Well, because I'll finish that thought and
sure.
Tell me what's wrong with it. Because you know this is going to harm other people.
At the time that people take their own life, they are not logical. They are not thinking. They actually many times believe that they are helping the people of their family. They are doing them a favor, that it is too difficult to, that they are too difficult to live with. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think most people who are dying don't see it as an act of revenge. They don't see it as a final message. Most people who take their lives are in such incredible pain. One of the people that who is very involved in suicide survivor support is Father Charles Ruby, who's at Catholic Charities. And one of the things that, because he was someone who helped counsel my husband and I when our daughter died, and one of the things he said is, as horrible as you feel right now with this death, and we were devastated. There were times we couldn't see how we could get up in the morning, that the person who, your daughter, was suffering 1,000 times more. So if you put it in that context, all of the negative things that people say about people are
maybe
wrong.
It's self-indulgent to presume to know what that, who the hell do you think you are that you know what the, you know what I'm thinking of is Robin Williams, too, described as a person who had everything to live for, every positive thing in the world, but was in such extraordinary pain, evidently, that he could not bear it anymore.
Right. Well, one of the, it's sort of cliche, but it's so true, is that you are sad, okay, when something awful happens. You are depressed when everything is going great. So, you know, you can be that the idea of everything to live for, again, is one of those outsiders trying to put a framework on something that is very complex.
You're telling me that's the range in which some of these people live, that it's that depressing or difficult, people who struggle with the impulse?
I will tell you that a woman that I knew very well revealed to me after Ilana died that she had attempted to take her own life, and when she was young. And she thankfully did not complete the suicide. She was saved. But she said her life is like walking along a stream that goes on for a very, very long time. But instead of looking forward, she has to always look down so that she avoids tripping on the little rocks that are in her way. And that, to me, was a beautiful description and a heartbreaking one for what it's like to live with a chronic mental illness.
Are you hopeful that medication is the solution and that we'll find the right cocktail of things, therapies, I don't know what?
For some people, medications alone are helpful. For others, they need both medications and psychological counseling.
I'm talking about suicide prevention right
now. Yes, but there's some really exciting research that is being done, in part funded by AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is pointing to the brain science, because this is really a brain issue. You know, the early Greeks, they made this artificial division between the mental and the physical, but really everything about the brain is physical, and suicide is about a damaged or a brain that is not working the way it should be. So I'm hopeful that eventually through research we may have a combination of medicine, or it may be something external, to change the way the structure and chemistry of the brain works.
Yeah, it is. It's that way with all mental illnesses, isn't it? That if I break my arm, you see the cast, you see the bruise, you see the bone. If I have a mental a problem, something's troubling me. We can't see it. We can't recognize it.
That's alone right.
Begin to know how to fix it.
This is one of those invisible disabilities. So, yes, and people, more people than you can believe, struggle with mental illness, and more people than you can believe also have a suicide story somewhere in their background. If we live long enough, we will. 60% of us will know someone who dies by suicide.
Well, the statistic you hit me with at the beginning of this conversation startled me more than I let on. You said over 1 million suicide attempts?
Annually, yes.
Annually. Well, there's only 300 million of us. I mean, right. That's 1 in 300 right there.
Right. And obviously, there are some people who engage in multiple attempts.
WGN with Kara Levinson. She's the secretary of the Illinois chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. The big walk is coming up on the 23rd. We're going to be at Grant Park. You can register starting at 9 a.m. and walk at 11 a.m. You don't have to come in with a bucket of money. They will take what money you can donate or generate, but they'd like to see you in person there walking at Grant Park. And boy, if it's anything like it's been lately, it's just going to be a great walk to come out of the darkness and into the light. Details at chicagowalk.org, chicagowalk.org. If I think that somebody I know, if I feel like I'm susceptible to the impulse of suicide, then what should be the first thing somebody does?
Talk. Find somebody to tell. We have a program, AFSP does, and we do training on it. The program is called Talk Saves Lives. People have the misguided notion that if you talk about suicide, if you ask someone if they are suicidal, that you will somehow trigger them to think of suicide. And studies have shown that that's actually far from true, that in fact people will be relieved to have the opportunity to talk about their feelings.
Well, there was a story in the news a few weeks ago that I'm sure you've been following as well, of that young girl, teenager, who was counseling the teenage boy who was distraught. She at first tried to counsel him, but then sort of goaded him into committing suicide.
Yeah, that's
an exception.
I sure hope so. Yeah. I think part of the reason why it got such airplay is because it was such a horrific thing. But I think most most teenagers can learn that they are often the first line of defense against suicide, and they can tell someone.
Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? If you have teenagers in your world, even if they're not struggling with this, maybe another teenager will reveal that to them.
Right. And
so
they
let's arm our kids.
Exactly. And they won't go to their family, or they won't go to a teacher,
right,
because they won't understand, or they're afraid of being, you know, poo-pooed. But teenagers understand other teenagers, and we are also working on trying to encourage peers, tell someone, encourage them to seek help, be the person, assume that you're the only person that teenager has gone to, and get them help. And by the way, if the help you get is not appropriate, it's not helping you, find other help.
Yeah, don't give up. Don't quit. Okay, the walk is September 23rd, 11 a.m. at Grant Park. It's actually at RV Field, A-R-V-E-Y, RV Field in Grant Park, which is on the southern edge of Grant Park.
The very southern end. And we usually have at least 5,000 people turning out. And we walk along the lakefront. And even if it rains, it's a beautiful day and a beautiful walk.
This seems trivial, but there it is. You also have a silent auction, which, by the way, is just a great way for you to either pick up some swell fun stuff, but also to generate money for the cause.
Exactly.
So chicagowalk.org, if you forget to go there. But remember, September 23rd, 9 a.m. register, 11 a.m. walk at Grant Park, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. The Illinois chapter is behind it.
And I just want to make one small correction. So 44,000, more than 44,000 Americans die by suicide each year. And in Illinois, it is the leading cause of death for ages 10 to 14. But it is in the nation, it is the second leading cause of death for ages 1 to 44. So second.
So as opposed to first. A small consolation. It's a startling statistic. So thank you for correcting that. And thank you for coming into our studio.
It was truly my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Kara, I think you've done some real good here today.